Fire up the queue, put those drinks on ice. It is a Friday edition of the Morning Tailgate here on Raider Nation Radio. Good morning. We made it. We made it to the end of the week.
Center stage. We made it.
We got a jam-packed show for you. Vinny Bonsignor will join us from parts unknown or known. We'll get to the bottom of that here shortly. Vinny is en route, Baltimore bound, but he had to make a pit stop. We'll tell you where here in just a bit.
It's a pit stop, yeah. They're changing the tires.
8:30, Heidi Nolan, Senior Vice President of Global Brand and Creative for the UFC. In case you haven't heard, there is a massive event happening this weekend at Sphere Las Vegas. I was at some of the events this week. Will continue to be. I will be there Saturday night. It's going to be a show. We're going to dive into that. We're going to get into the nitty-gritty of the creative and how much has actually gone into UFC 306 Noche UFC 2. So I'm excited to have that conversation. As always on Fridays, Chris Thomas, Fusion Odyssey, joins us at 9 o'clock. And then Raiders head coach Antonio Pierce set to meet with the media for the final time this work week as they get set for week 2 in Baltimore. That's coming up at 9:30. We will bring you that press conference as it comes. But once again, Vince Sapienza, Clay Baker here. Follow us on X at Vince Sapienza, at Clay Baker Radio. And Clay, we were heavy with the nation and the tailgaters Monday.
Yes. Yep.
To get that instant reaction. Got a lot of calls, a lot of reaction. Kind of went a little quiet Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, because there was a lot to dig into, a lot to chew. But today, we are asking the question, simply, what is your prediction for Sunday? What's going to happen? That's it. Raider Nation, 702-365-9200. Call us. Hit us up on the Dollar Loan Center text line. We want to hear what you thinking. Where are you mentally right now on the Friday before? Clay, how we doing?
Good, man. Good, thank you. And last night for Thursday Night Football, that was a crazy game between the Bills and the Dolphins. And, of course, everyone is talking about Tua today. But this is once again where you see how certain division rivals have a mastery of the other. Mm-hmm. And the Bills are starting to really they're starting to own what Miami's doing. But at the same time, what is the prognosis for Tua going forward now? Because almost one out of every two shows that are out there, or whether it's TV or radio, you're hearing, all right, if he comes back, or, you know, when he comes back. That's what it's like now, because people are more concerned about the health of the player than ever before. And for Tua suffering this concussion once again, people are beginning to wonder, is it all worth it?
Yeah, it's scary. So I was at the UFC press conference outside Sphere last night. So I was watching the first half of that Thursday night game and then moving over to the UFC and then watching on my phone periodically from time to time.
So awesome.
When I saw the hit from Tua,
yeah,
and obviously this is real time, so you're not knowing it's a concussion at that exact moment, but you're like, the first thought is, why is he lowering his head? He got the first down. And you know, Vinny and I and you were talking about that earlier this week in regards to Lamar. Like, Lamar was initiating a lot of contact last week against the Kansas City Chiefs, a team who he has a tough time beating. And when he was asked about that earlier this week, Lamar said it was his competitive spirit. And I am of the notion that, you know, there's certain games guys get up for, and that's just human nature. It's not that they're not more or less professional than the next guy. It's just there's certain games mm-hmm. guys get up for, right?
Yep.
Lamar Jackson and Kansas City Chiefs, that has been a bugaboo for him and the Ravens. He's got the MVPs, but Patrick has the Super Bowls, and they can't get past the Chiefs when it matters in the postseason.
They stand in the way, and you got to solve that mystery.
So that game meant more, right? So that makes sense. So when you look at last night and you go to Tua, well, the Dolphins have lost up until last night, had lost four straight to the Bills, 11 of 12. Now, I know that wasn't all Tua in the 11 of 12, but
hey, it's there.
If you're Miami, you're sitting there like, we need to beat this team. Like, we're the class of the division, or they want to think that, and they mm-hmm. want to be that. You have to beat that team. And so I think it's fascinating to see, you know, Tua, a guy who has had his concussion history, has had his injury history, so much has been talked about the way he falls. Remember, it was, I believe it was last season, he took a class on how to fall better so that he wouldn't get the whiplash, so he wouldn't bang his head on the turf.
He did MMA
field.
Classes about rolling his body and all sorts of things that would leave like a more of a protected cage around his head and something that you kind of learn in tumbling and all the other things of that kind of sport, where you start to learn a lot of the characteristics of how to like just take care of your head better. And last year, it worked to perfection because he had you're the passing leader.
Mm-hmm.
That really showed like a certain evolution and progression in a guy's career. But still, if you're going to lead with your cranium, nothing good can come from that.
It's just unnecessary. And it was unnecessary for the situation, for everything. Mm-hmm. I mean, they were driving the ball. He got the first down. I mean, all these quarterbacks, it was Caleb Williams, the most recent in training camp with a slip and slide. Practicing how to slide. I mean, Mike McDaniels joked about it a lot, like over the years, about just Tua, get down. Like, get. It's just, if you're a Miami fan, if you're a Finns fan, you were frustrated. You are obviously concerned for the health and well-being, because I don't think it's an overreaction when you sit there and you don't ask, like, when is he coming back? I think there's a legitimate if in there because of how many he's taken. Again, the history just has not been kind to Tua, and it's so unfortunate because he is such a talent, which is good for the league, quarterback-driven league, right? And he's a good face for that Miami team.
He is, and at the same time, it's not like you have this whole bevy of great young quarterbacks. You know, there's some. But when we talk even about trying to find a top 10 in tiering who's the best quarterbacks in the league, it's arguable after number 7. And, you know, so you really got to, you know, cherish the ones you have. And at the same time, for him, he's a young man.
Yeah.
He's got to start valuing, you know, what he can deliver at his age. And then you sign a big contract.
Yeah.
And therein lies, like, all right, where do I go where I'm like more convinced about, all right, I can get through this career, I can earn great money, and I can have, you know, I can go and try to win a championship with Miami. Or at the same time, maybe I've done all I can, and I realize that no matter how many classes I take, and no matter all these little precautions I'm doing in the off season, I'm still putting myself in harm's way.
It's a vicious game. It's a vicious game. And if we're being honest, the play didn't look all that... like, oh my goodness, what a... I mean, it was a big hit.
Yeah,
It was DeMar Hamlin, Bill's safety. We know his past. And it wasn't the biggest collision we've seen.
It wasn't that violent collision, right?
But when you have that history, especially with the head, any collision, it reverberates to an even bigger situation, which is what we saw last night. Now, obviously, the good news in terms... we don't know anything. We're probably not going to know anything. And as, you know, the TV programs are putting up his concussion history, and they're going to be doing it all morning. 2019 in Alabama, left a game with a concussion. Mm-hmm. 2022, week 3 against the Bills, left game because of concussion, but cleared concussion protocol. 2022, week 4, had the concussion. And again, history has not been kind.
But he's got to miss the next game no matter what.
Right. So right? What I was saying is we're not going to know anything, right? But based on what we do know, he walked off the field, which doesn't tell us much, but at least he was able to walk off the field. That's always, you know, a positive.
You got your feeling in the extremities. Those are the kind of things you're like, all right, you kind of rest assured that, all right, that's maybe not the most severe of all concussions.
You know what else I take away from last night? That is now 2 weeks in a row. We are 17 games in to the NFL season. And two franchises' seasons are completely off course right now. Jordan Love going down for the Green Bay Packers.
That was a biggie.
On Friday night in Brazil, completely skews what the Green Bay Packers season looks like. Malik Willis, who got there 3 weeks ago, 22 days, whatever it is.
Yeah, right.
Less than a month, right? Or about a month. He's been there. He looks like he's going to play on Sunday, but apparently they're opening the door. They're leaving the door open for Jordan Love. I don't know what the situation is. That doesn't really matter. But what I'm saying is that's a major off the rails moment for the Green Bay Packers. And now you look at with Miami, and obviously, again, first worry is always for the player. But when you now look at Skylar Thompson, and he got hit, he got banged up pretty good.
Yes,
at the end
he
of
did.
The game.
He took some shots.
Yeah. So I mean,
and was rather ineffective.
So you go from one of the most explosive offenses in the National Football League with one of the most accurate, one of the highest completion percentage quarterbacks in the NFL to a backup quarterback. All of a sudden, their trajectory is completely different.
Because you got this major drop-off between starter and backup. To give you an example, even for the odds makers, the difference between Tua and Skyler is 3.5. The difference between 3.5 points. The difference between Jordan Love and Malik Willis, 6.5 points.
Wow.
Okay, Josh Allen and Mitchell Trubisky, 7. 7.5 for Mahomes and Wentz, and Lamar Jackson and Josh Johnson, same number. So that's just an odds maker number to just try to put some sort of finite, tangible interest into it. Right now, though, you take a look at trajectories and what's the backup plan. And, you know, regardless if Skylar Thompson's been in the system for a while and understands it better, every time we've seen him, it's always been middling results.
Yeah, so that's obviously going to be a concern on multiple fronts in Miami. Once again, they're unable to slay the Bills. They are unable to beat a good time in prime, a good team in prime time, which is a problem. And yeah, man, it just Thursday, it was a great game. It was a fun game to watch up until that injury. But even before the injury, Tua did not look good, and the Bills looked like okay,
yeah,
Buffalo, welcome back to being the machine. Apparently, that you are, James Cook. Just in the kitchen doing his thing.
I mean, the two interceptions did not look good. That third one, the pick six, looked even worse. It looked like a decline in skills was happening before his eyes, but it was almost as if the Bills have found like the solution on how to beat Tua.
That defense, though. I mean, the one thing that has stuck out to me in just about every single game, and there's certain games that stick out more than most, but you know, everybody's talking about the Patriots' victory over Cincinnati.
Mm-hmm.
Physicality.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How did the Raiders-Chargers game end up? The team that was more physical won in the trenches.
Yes.
They won that game. Buffalo was physical last night. So, again, it's the early part of the season. Teams are more fresh, but, a wild Thursday night.
Let's talk to Vinny Bonsignore, shall we? Let's roust him up out of the hotel room. We'll go live. Vinny's on the road. He's doing a very special engagement where he's traveling to see the UNLV Kansas game, and then he's heading out to Baltimore for Ravens Raiders. So let's take a look at what Vinny's up to. We'll come back in just a few minutes. More to come here on Raider Nation Radio. Vinny Bonsignore, he's next. It's R&R 920.
I mean, I'm a competitor. Don't get me wrong. I love to compete, but would I rather not be going against Lamar Jackson? No, I'm joking. But no, it's always fun. I mean, going to Baltimore is going to be fun. I remember that environment. Last time I was there, I was with the Giants. You know, I think it was the COVID year, so it wasn't as many people. But I remember back in the days of New England, it's a tough environment. It's definitely going to be a football environment. And they play football the right way. And, you know, we want to play football the right way. And it's going to be fun. They got good players. They got good coaches. The fans are wild and crazy. I'm looking forward to it. The players are looking forward to it. So, you know, you got to get ready.
Yeah, Patrick Graham, Raiders defensive coordinator, coming back here on Raider Nation Radio. It's the Morning Tailgate. Vince Sapienza, Clay Baker, and this individual, Vinny Bonsignore, live on the road as he gets ready for a busy weekend here in Southern Nevada sports for watching UNLV football at Kansas and then going on the road to Baltimore to see Raiders at the Ravens. Good morning, Vinny. Thank you for joining us as Patrick Graham was talking about, you know, playing against elite talent. And he slyly is like, oh, man, I'd love to play against guys, except if it's Lamar Jackson. But, you know, he has something that a tall task ahead of him to stop, you know, a reigning MVP.
Yeah, I'm not so sure I would say fun is the right word. Going against the Lamar Jackson is definitely a challenge.
Yeah,
that's for sure. But, you know, the competitor and Patrick Graham and Max Crosby and Christian Wilkins and Nate Hobbs and everybody else on that defensive side of the ball, there is something to be said about going against the best of the best. And there is some enjoyment in that in terms of the chess game that's involved and how it raises your game. And your awareness and understanding how great that player is over on the other side of the ball. Of course, we're talking about Lamar Jackson. So there is some fun in that, although once the whistle blows, it can be really frustrating. Lamar Jackson can make for a frustrating day for anybody in any defense, and that's really what the Raiders need to avoid. One of those frustrating long days against one of the great players in the game, and make him as much as you possibly can a non-factor, which is pretty much impossible. Let's admit that.
Vinny, well, first of all, good morning. I mean, you just abandoned us here on a Friday so you can go take in this UNLV upset over Kansas.
Ooh. Would it be an upset at this point?
That's the question. That's a great question. Is it an upset at this point? I mean, that Houston win looks even better by the day. How were your travels, my friend? How did everything go? Where are you? What's the weather? Paint us a picture.
So far, so good. And I'm with my traveling buddy, Ed Graney.
Oh, no.
Somewhere on the 17th floor here with me at the Westin Crown Center here in Kansas City. It's one of my favorite hotels and favorite locations. You're right by this historic train station right outside my window, so that's really cool. We went to Jack's Stack last night.
Ooh.
One of the great barbecue places here in Kansas City. I kept it clean. I was clean last night, you guys.
Good man.
Barbecue beef ribs.
Okay.
Just the rub, no sauce, and a delicious, and I'm saying delicious, butter-based broccoli with garlic and Parmesan cheese, all of which is allowable.
How is that?
Yeah. Wait a minute. All I heard was butter and cheese.
Yeah, how is anything when it starts with butter-based acceptable?
Believe it or not, and my doctor who's cracked the Da Vinci Code, butter's fine. Butter's completely fine. Cheese is fine. It has to be the hard cheese, so it's Parmesan cheese, so you grate it, so it's definitely okay.
Okay.
So yeah, no worries with the butter. If you're on the the kind of diet that I am, which is basically a no carbs diet, and you're looking to add just the protein, forget the olive oil when you're cooking. You could put it on salad. You could use it later on, but don't cook with olive oil. Go with the butter. Regular, good old fashioned butter is perfectly fine.
I need your doctor to talk to my doctor and write a note saying it's okay for Vince and Clay.
Yeah, right.
Butter based.
he will do it proudly.
Vinny, Clay and I were just talking, and we had this discussion earlier on in the week. Obviously, the Raiders, the biggest dog on the week two schedule. And, the number probably is not going to shrink between now and Sunday. And we were talking and half joking that on these pregame shows, where the CBS, Fox, the NFL Network, whoever it is, they're going to gloss over this game. Nobody's breaking down this game. And that's why when I heard Patrick Graham on that rejoinder just now saying, hey, we're excited. We're excited to go play football. And Antonio Pierce talks about, we have to give the public a reason. We have to give the nation a reason to tune in. We have to prove these doubters wrong. There's no better opportunity come Sunday. They're not going to talk mm-hmm. about them pregame. You want them to talk about you? Get the upset. Get it done, and they'll talk plenty in the postgame.
Yeah, no doubt about it. It's earned respect, and that's what the Raiders are on the journey of doing this year. And it's within their grasp. It's within their power to be able to do just that. Was it a great effort? I shouldn't say effort. I'll never question the effort because I felt like the effort was there. Was it a great performance against the Los Angeles Chargers? No, absolutely not. I guess the one bright light from that is they went into the fourth quarter despite shooting themselves in the foot. And, as Antonio Pierce talked about, the Raiders not taking care of the Raiders, they still had an opportunity to win that game late in the game. So that's a little bit of a bright light. But, it's on to week two. And the NFL, Ed and I were talking about this last night. You just don't know what you're going to get necessarily from a week-to-week basis. This league is so competitive and so razor-thin even in a lot of ways that I don't care what the spread is. I think it's been bet up to about 10 or so at this point. Maybe it came down a little bit. But it matters not. Once that whistle blows on Sunday, and the Raiders are fully capable of going into Baltimore and winning a game. It's going to take a precise effort. It's going to take a very specific type of a game plan and a blueprint. But if the Raiders follow that to a T, they're going to give themselves an opportunity to win this game. And I say that because I really believe that this defense travels. It's going to go wherever they go. And that defense is going to give them a chance to win football games and to be close late in games. I'd be surprised if we didn't get to the fourth quarter on Sunday, and this game was kind of hanging in the balance.
Vinny Bonsignor live from Kansas City as he's getting ready for UNLV Kansas tonight, and then he'll be traveling to Baltimore for Raiders-Ravens Sunday morning here on Raider Nation Radio. With that being said, and you talk about like being surprised or not being surprised, for the Raiders to find a semblance of a running game, could you see or be surprised by perhaps shuffling a personnel on the offensive line for this game?
No, not necessarily. I mean, unless Jackson Powers Johnson can get out there and play, that looks a little bit dubious. At this point, they'll get their rookie right or left guard out there at some point. He'll make a big difference. You know, what an unfortunate start to Jackson Powers Johnson's career. But this is a long play and a long game for he and the Raiders, and he'll be out there eventually. And I believe be the player that the Raiders believe he can be. But no, I don't think there's going to be any shuffling of the offensive line. I think it'll remain intact just as is. I think they may try to do some different things, maybe spread it out a little bit more rather than bunch it up, which they weren't really successful running it. In 12 personnel when they went to power, maybe you spread it out a little bit to create some seams, but. You know, here's the thing. One way or another, the Raiders are going to have to win the way they need to win. And part of that is being a big, strong, powerful run team, physical team. Because it didn't work out one week doesn't mean you're going to abandon it the next week. Yes, there will be some adjustments, but there's an identity that the Raiders want to forge here in Las Vegas. And that's what I just expressed in terms of the power and the strength. And so they're going to try to build off that rather than run away from it.
Let's talk the philosophy and psychology of what Antonio Pierce is doing in terms of this cross-country, East Coast, early start, at least here in Las Vegas. For the Raiders, incrementally starting their days earlier, practices or start a little sooner throughout the day, and then just kind of a one-day travel to Baltimore. Obviously, it's kind of a departure from what we've seen past regimes and past eras do. What is the messaging there? Is it just pure business trip? Hey, fly in, get stuff done, let's get home?
Yeah, and you're right. It is a bit of a departure. It changes sometimes from team to team, and it's not ever an issue for teams in Cleveland or in Detroit or Minnesota. Whatever direction they're going in, it's really not that long of a flight. And so usually they'll come in on Saturdays before a Sunday game. Whereas if you're on the West Coast going to the East Coast and vice versa, you typically go on a Friday. Most teams, some teams just stick with the day before. And in Antonio Pierce's case, it feels like what he prefers is just going in the day before. And to mitigate the time clock and the body clock and all that, they are starting their day a little bit earlier. I don't think it's necessarily critical that they get on the field at what would be 10 a.m. California or Las Vegas time, compared to the 1 o'clock in Baltimore. I don't think it's important or so important that they have to actually be on the field, but just getting up and about it and getting into your workflow earlier in the day, which is what the Raiders have tried to do this week, I think that'll help. And so they'll take a morning flight tomorrow, headed to Baltimore. I think they get into town about 4 o'clock local time, and be ready to play a football game on Sunday. And there is something to say to be said about this, Vince. Don't overthink it. Go out there, get your body clock right. Be as prepared as possible throughout the week. Land on have a nice team meal together. Take your notes. Do your last bits of preparation on Saturday. Get a good night's sleep, and then go kick some butt on Sunday potentially against the Ravens. So we'll see if that all works for the Raiders.
Do you feel that Tyree Wilson will be able to make the field and start for this game?
I'm sure that'll be a game time decision. Okay. I don't think it's necessary to rush him right now. I saw him on Wednesday in the locker room. He seemed to be moving around, really well, and that's a promising sight because you don't want that to be something that's a long-range deal. It doesn't appear to be, but at the same time, moving around well in the locker room and being able to go out there and play an NFL game against NFL competition and protect yourself and not exasperate the injury, those are two different things. So I don't know whether he's going to be able to play, but I know that the Raiders are going to be as cautious as possible because, you know, with Malcolm Kuntz facing what he's facing, you need all hands on deck behind him, and one of those key parts is Tyree Wilson, and he'd hate to lose him for a longer period of time by rushing it right now.
I asked you yesterday, how confident are you that the running game is going to get fixed? And you said, I don't know.
Yeah.
Do you feel any better today? Do you feel waking up in a different city, in a different time zone?
Has the broccoli changed your mind?
I guess this is out of respect for the Baltimore Ravens and how they go about, you know, their business. And they're as big a physical football team as there is in this NFL. And as Patrick Graham said, they play the right way. If you want to emulate a great organization and a great team, you know, the Baltimore Ravens may not win Super Bowls necessarily, but they're always knocking on the door. And they're always a team that you just pencil in at the beginning of each year. And it's rare that they lay an egg. It's rare that they look silly. It's rare that they get out-coached. It's rare that they get out-efforted. They're usually in games, and they usually win a bunch of those games. So that's definitely the earmarks of a great organization, and any organization would want to be along those lines. So out of respect to the Ravens and how they play defense and how physical they are, and what we saw in Los Angeles, you know, with this run game, it's hard to say, oh, yeah, for sure, the Raiders are going to get that thing turned around. I know they want to. I know that that's of the highest priorities as they get on a plane tomorrow and head to Baltimore, that's in their suitcase somewhere, that run game will be there and available to them on Sunday. And we've talked so much during the week how important it is that it is, because the Raiders' offense gets a huge boost if they're able to run the game. It just really sets everything else up. So it is a priority. It is an emphasis. But to sit here and say that it's going to happen out of respect to the Baltimore Ravens and what we saw in Los Angeles, I don't know. But it better, that's for sure, for the Raiders.
What would you think of a split between, you know, carries between Zamir White and Alexander Mattison last week? 13 rushing attempts for Zamir, 5 for Mattison. Do you think that'll change or stay about the same?
I don't know, and I think, you know, first of all, that's too few carries for both of them, quite honestly.
Yeah.
You know, so I would expect for both of that to go up. I mean, if it is, that's a sign that the running game is chugging along and not being abandoned because of the score or because of ineffectiveness. So I would say that you have to get those rushing attempts up by both players, whether it's a full split or, you know, it's a Zamir White day or an Alexander Mattison day, you know, in terms of the most carries. To me, that's to be determined. And I think Antonio Pierce and Luke Getsy are going to play that by ear. They're going to go out there and see who's running the most effectively. And I don't think that they're going to waste 1 second, you know, in making whatever adjustment they need to make to whoever it is that's running the hardest and the best. And so, but I'll say this, I think Zamir White is going to be a determined player. I don't think that he's happy at all with his performance on Sunday. As he told me on Wednesday, you know, just look at me. I was the issue on those. It starts with me on those short yardage situations. So I feel like I know Zamir too well to not think that he's going to have a big old chip on his shoulder and a big old, you know, motivation, a lot of motivation to redeem himself on Sunday. And if that's the case, and if he does, that's a huge boost for the Raiders offense.
As well as the Raiders defense did week one, there's still a feeling around the facility of they're pissed off.
Yeah.
Like they didn't do enough. And it feels like Zamir has that quiet, I'm pissed. Kind of like, I'm about to run through some people. That's just the feeling, you know, just being around. It just kind of, am I off base there, Vinny?
No, I don't think you are. And, you know, he's coming into his neck of the woods out here, not too far from his home base. I'm sure he's going to have a lot of family making the trip up to Baltimore. So there's a little bit of pride on the line. There's a little bit of, hey, the family and the friends are going to be in the stands, I would imagine, anyway. I'd be surprised if that wasn't the case. And he's going to want to, you know, put on a show for them, not just obviously for the reasons that we just discussed, how important he is to this Raiders team and how important that run game is to the offensive operation. Above and beyond that, he's going to have some people, you know, in the stands on Sunday in Baltimore, and so he's going to want to put his best foot forward. And yes, he's extremely quiet. He's a great kid, one of the best, you know, that we've covered in a long time. Just pure hearted, and a great guy all around. And but I think you're right. I think, you know, you probably don't have to dig too far to find a little bit of anger in him over what happened on Sunday. But, you know, that's the great thing about the NFL. It was week one. And if you look at, you know, offenses across the league, there was a lot of clunky performances going on, and a lot of, quite, you know, like Joe Burrow playing the game that he did. I mean, are we not expecting Joe Burrow, you know, to get things turned around?
I don't know. Did you see him pick up that water bottle? Did you see it?
No, that,
Vinny?
The world is watching.
Yeah. My money's on Joe, you know, going, you know, actually, that people are talking about that game out here. Boy, I'll tell you what, we got to our car rental place yesterday, and usually, you know, I do national, and you just walk in, you get your car, and you drive off. There were zero cars left on the lot. They were washing cars.
Oh, no.
And driving them up to this long line of people that were waiting for their cars. Why? Well, you know, the Kansas game is kind of a big deal out here.
Sure.
Tonight, and then the Bengals Chiefs game as well. So a lot going on here in Kansas City, and that Bengals Chiefs game. I mean, let's be honest. That's one of those games that you got to circle and you want to watch just to see, especially after the Bengals played the way they did on Sunday. Are they going to be able to rebound? Because as Ja'Marr Chase said yesterday, which I don't know if I agree or disagree, but I do question him actually saying this. Like, there's no question in his mind that they're the best team in the AFC. I'm paraphrasing, but that was what he was insinuating, and that it all has to go through Cincinnati. Well, Ja'Marr, guess what? You're going to have somebody that has probably a differing of opinion on that opinion, and that would be the Kansas City Chiefs and number 15 and everybody else on that Chiefs team. So you put it out there, and I respect you for that, but now you got to go back it up against a great Kansas City Chiefs team.
And staying with that for tonight, Kansas hosting UNLV at Children's Mercy Park in Kansas City, not in Lawrence. But how important is this game, you know, for Kansas to start to, like, find their own identity, because football has always had to take a backseat to basketball?
And, oh, by the way, it's Kansas City, Kansas, not Kansas City, Missouri. So,
boom.
Yeah. You know, I didn't realize that until I looked to see, you know, how close we were to the and I'm like, oh, okay, this is not even in Missouri. It's in Kansas. We all know that. It's just like a, you know, you literally, when you fly into Kansas City, you fly into Kansas, and then you drive into Missouri. It's just about 1,000 feet away, but it is what it is. So, you know, I think for UNLV, this is really a great opportunity and a huge opportunity, quite frankly. We haven't even got into the whole, you know, conference alignment. I'm hoping to talk to some people, you know, on the UNLV side to see what's up with all that.
Right.
Do they have their eyes on bigger fish? Maybe the Big 12. If I'm UNLV, this is just my personal opinion. I don't know anything about anything. But if I had a choice between being, let's say, in the Big 12 or this new fangled Pac-12, I think I'd rather be in the Big 12, right? The Pac-12. I think I'd rather be in the Big 12, but I don't know if the Big 12 wants you. I don't know what's going on with all that. But it is kind of curious that UNLV wasn't amongst the teams that are making the jump from the Mountain West over to the Pac-12. So there's a little bit of that going on as well. But for UNLV to continue to state their case as a program that's on the rise and as a program that other conferences, maybe the Big 12, let's just throw that out there, would be interested in, wins like they could potentially get tonight mean a whole lot and are so important. The more wins you can stack up against teams that are quote unquote, higher regarded than you are, and to show that you're on that peer, you're on that tier, your peers with those types of teams, the better off you're going to be in terms of where you're eventually going to land. Because we don't know what the Mountain West is going to look like after 2026, after all of this, you know, goes down. But I would imagine pretty soon, and wins like, if they can get a win tonight and a win against Syracuse in a couple of weeks, let alone against Fresno State in between that Syracuse game, only bodes well for UNLV for this year. Obviously, that's what they have their eyes on, is trying to make a playoff run, and you got to basically run the table to be in that conversation, but also for the long range of the program, and so tonight represents a great opportunity for UNLV to do just that.
Everyone wants a winner, and Vinny's our winner. We want Vinny.
Vinny, Vinny. Hey, Vinny, we wish you the very best and the safest trip back home. And you know, we look forward to the updates up at VegasNation.com as well as Las Vegas Review Journal and at Vinny Bonsignore on Next. Thank you again for your time this morning.
You got it. Have a great show. Hold it down, guys.
All right.
See you, buddy.
Will do. Vinny Bonsignore live from Kansas City, Missouri. He'll be in Kansas City, Kansas later today for UNLV Kansas.
He's a cartographer. He's a one who studies maps.
He's the sports Magellan over there. But that's the thing. Like yesterday as we're doing the show, that news broke, and it's kind of crazy that the Pac-12, you know, behind the scenes, trying to like build the semblance back of what that conference used to be, kind of found a way to pilfer some Mountain West schools. And, of course, the big daddy, Boise State, 2025-26. That season is going to be very interesting for the Mountain West as it finds its member schools beginning to look elsewhere.
Yeah, my colleague Paloma Villacana over at Fox 5 caught up with UNLV, excuse me, and basically said the statement was they're evaluating all options. All options are on the table. Something tells me.
Yeah.
They're waiting for something maybe a little bigger.
Well, and I would think like, all right, so Colorado State's going to go to the Pac-12, but the Pac-12 would want Las Vegas as a market.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
So it makes me feel like UNLV's already had some ideas going on.
That's what I mean. Like, mm-hmm. I think there's something else brewing, and when you have a market like Las Vegas that is just exploding and busting at the seams, right? Everybody wants to come here. I mean, everybody wants to play at Allegiant Stadium.
Yes. You can have the conference championship there, all kinds of stuff.
So much. That's why I think there's something more with UNLV, because at the end of the day, it does come down to winning. You want a program that's going to win, and with this new realignment and everybody's kind of jockeying for, all right, you know, they're not just grabbing what's hot now. They're forecasting what markets do we want? What teams, mm-hmm. programs do we want? UNLV, I would imagine, is at the top of a lot of teams' lists, specifically the Big 12.
It's sure. Like, they want to, like, find all spots and all networks across the country. Right now, Big 12 has UCF. All right, so you're out there far east. You know, mm-hmm. you got the Florida market. But out west, it only goes as far as Tucson, Arizona. So why not include, you know, something a little further in the West Coast to kind of put a foothold across the nation? And that's what the Big 12 is trying to do.
When you talk about growing growing whatever conference you're in,
mm-hmm.
Las Vegas seems like a great place to start. And before we continue, when Vinny was saying he was at the rental car place, did you not have just flash of Seinfeld and the rental car? That you know how to take a reservation. You don't know how to hold the reservation. Anybody could take it. Anybody could take it. But it's the holding that really is the essence of the reservation. That's what I saw in my head as he's telling that story. But
that always strikes a fear for you, because the way most of the rental cars now are like, all right, you don't sign up for your one car specifically. You either get like a midsize, a luxury, an intermediate,
and
compact.
Pick. Yeah, normally and you get to pick. You walk up and cars there. But when he says you walk up and there's no cars, I immediately go to Seinfeld and be like, what are we doing here?
This is when the OCDs and the paranoia start ranging out and flaring on me, because that's happened to me a few times. I'm like, what do you mean you know cars? It's 5:30 in the morning. I've had this reservation for 6 months.
Anybody can take it.
Anybody can take it. There is something wrong with that. We got to take a break. Before coming up next, we'll get in your thoughts at 702-365-9200 on the Dollar Loan Center text line. Make sure you join me, though, Sunday morning for Raiders Ravens, the road rally, the Coors Light road rally. Have you ever been a part of these? They are so awesome, because Coors Light does Raider Nation a major solid. And this time it's going to be at Barcode Burger on East Flamingo, east of Maryland Parkway. There'll be Coors Light specials, but Coors Light brings the gifts. They got Raiders Image gift cards, jerseys, memorabilia. There'll be tickets to a game. And, of course, Raiders alumnus will be there with the Raiderettes. So join me Sunday morning, 10 a.m. to kick it off. Raiders Ravens at Barcode Burger. It's such a great place on East Flamingo, east of Maryland Parkway. Join us, won't you, on Raider Nation Radio.
And I will destroy any man who tries to take what I got. I'm the champ! I'm the champ! I'll beat you like a...
Back to the Morning Tailgate with Vinny, Vince, and Clay on Raider Nation Radio.
Hey.
Welcome back to the Morning Tailgate. Vinny Bonson, you're on assignment. Starting a little early this weekend as he is in Kansas getting set for UNLV. Rock Chalk Jayhawk. And then he'll be Baltimore bound tomorrow. Holding it down here on the tailgate. Vince Sapienza, Clay Baker. Now, Clay, I got a story for you.
All right, let's hear it.
And normally, just so we can, you know, remove the curtain of transparency.
For shizzle.
We like to chat about what we're going to chat about, so we have some semblance of a conversation, so it's not all out of left field. But this one, I want it out of left field because I want to get your thoughts on it.
All right, get me cold. I like this.
Keon Coleman, rookie receiver for the Buffalo Bills. He is Florida State Seminole, and he has been known to wear not one but two mouthpieces in games in the NFL and in college football. Now he has two mouthpieces of the colors of the team he's playing. So last night it was orange and white for Miami. And he's done this throughout college.
Color coordinating the mouthpieces?
Initial reaction really? To that, because this is a story I'm trying to wrap my head around, but I'm curious what your take is on the why.
All right. So you know those mouthpieces in football, you dig your teeth into them. You know, they form to the top and bottom of your mouth, and you just sink your teeth into them constantly. And you know, sometimes after a game or sometimes after a couple weeks, they look raggedy. I mean, they look dangerous. They shouldn't even be in your mouth anymore. So maybe it's like a point of impact where you're constantly taking a bite out of the opponent and you're grinding your teeth, you're grinding their bones with your molars. Maybe there's some sort of like psychological impact there.
So every picture you see of him, he's not wearing them. That's the thing. It's okay. Just that he's – so what it sounds like –
does he give them away? Like at the end of the game, he flips the mouthpieces into the crowd?
So in college, he used to do the Apple Watch band. He would change the color of the Apple Watch band to the team he's playing. So when Florida State was getting ready to play Duke, I believe it was their first game of the season that year.
Okay.
He wore a blue band all during spring ball, all in preparation – for that game. So I guess to him that was like a reminder of like, hey, this is what we're doing. This is like who we're up against, that kind of thing. But then he started doing it with mouthpieces too. And apparently people then started sending him colored Apple Watch bands for the following teams. And I guess he just continued that with the mouthpieces, but not seeing him wear the mouthpieces in any of these pictures I'm looking at. And when trying to find an exact reason, there was a story done with him at FSU last year, but there's still not a lot of reason.
There's not a lot of reason behind it,
just,
is it?
It's just, yeah, we're playing Duke, so I wore blue. What?
I just want to make sure that this is right, and I could stay on schedule. Hey, most of us are visual learners. Maybe this is one in which is like that constantly keeps them, you know, focused. But you know, at some point, you don't want to go too far with it. And next thing you know, because for me, I don't want to have too much to think about.
Well, so you people know on social media are losing their minds, obviously, because they saw two mouthpieces hanging out of his helmet, and they're like, "Does Keon have two mouths? What are we doing? Like, what are we watching right now?" And so, for those that may have known or had questions, it's something that stuck out to me as I'm, you know, looking at the Twitterverse last night, and I had my own questions as to why, but
there's a lot of questions.
That's a first.
Is it like the Jim Nantz thing and one shining moment at the end of the national championship game in basketball where Jim Nantz takes off his tie and gives it to somebody? Does Keon like take the mouthpiece out and give it to a young up and comer?
Oh boy.
One shining moment. He's like, no, let me wipe this off for you. Yeah. Good, here it is.
I know we're well into post-COVID times, but I still don't think that's okay. You know how players say, you know, you got to keep the main thing. And I think this is Keon's way of keeping the main thing, eyes on the prize, the different colors. Just, I don't know. I'm reaching, but it fascinating. And athletes are wired so different.
Oh, what motivates people is so many different things. And as Vinny talked about, motivated Zamir White for this game, what that could bring. Because we saw motivated Zamir White in his first game as a starter when he had those final four games. You know, especially in the Kansas City game, a motivated Zamir White's a good one.
100%. I mean, you talk about a guy that needs to reestablish, maybe remind some people, hey, number three's here. Zeus is in the building. Let the thunder rain down.
We'll come back. And coming up next here on Raider Nation Radio, we'll get into Gardner Minshew's last game against Baltimore. We got great sound from Devontae. We also want to hear your predictions as well. It's Raider Nation Radio.